The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, we're expecting a flu surge over the Christmas period, so how well prepared are we? We're joined by Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer at the HSE. He's joining us from our Cork studio at Republic of Work. Colm, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So I'm saying we're expecting a flu surge. It is out there, isn't it?
Certainly. We're seeing the past, for a number of weeks now, we're seeing a big increase in the number of flu cases, largely driven by a variant AH1PAN09, which can cause more serious illness in older people, sometimes very young children too. So RSV as well, that common childhood virus, we've seen jump in numbers of cases in the past few weeks, and there has been a good element to that story in that the vaccination program we introduced in September for newborn children has seen a dramatic fall in cases for those who are covered by the vaccination program compared to the cases last year. COVID-19, relatively benign number, small jump last week, but it is not yet what we would call a seasonal illness, and that it can surge at any time during the year. So largely driven by flu, and we predict by the end of December, we'll be seeing between 600 and 900 new cases of influenza in hospital every week.
Now, 600 to 900 every single week. Now, let's talk about why that might be so. How big was the uptake of the vaccine? And is the vaccine effective for the virus that's out there?
Yes, it is effective. I would urge anybody listening, it's still available. HSE.ie, if you log on to that, you'll find out if you're eligible. 1 800 700 700 is the number. Talk to your GP or pharmacist, and the vaccine is free to those over 60, to those with chronic disease younger than 60, and of course to children. And there's a nasal vaccine which is relatively easy to take between 2 and 17 years of age. It doesn't become effective until 2 weeks after you take the vaccine, so we're urging people to take it as soon as possible. It's not too late, because even if the cases peak at the end of December, Pat, we'll see ongoing high numbers of influenza right through January, which will obviously cause illness if it gets through to people who have serious underlying conditions, but can cause ongoing pressure on healthcare, primary care, GPs and hospitals.
How long then is the flu season?
The flu season, we look at, there's a lag. The cases we expect to peak at the end of December. But what we often see based on previous year's patterns is we see a plateau of cases with January, sometimes what we call an M curve, a double spike, if you like, that peaks at the end of December, then drops and then increases again as people return to work or children return to school. And the pressures we face as a consequence usually persist right through January and sometimes late into February.
So the question is then, how is the HSE preparing? How are the hospitals preparing for an extra 600 to 900 patients every week? Now, I don't know how many days each patient is likely to stay in the hospital, but they'll be cycling through the hospital in, resting and out again. But it does mean, though, if they're in for a week, it means a steady state availability of some 600 to 900 beds.
That's correct, and it's adding to existing pressure. And just to acknowledge the hard work of teams right across the country, not just in hospitals, but GPs and GP nurses and everybody who's providing acute care to people, no matter where people present. Obviously, the first thing, Pat, you've mentioned already is prevention, vaccination. We're still urging people. We've over 1 million uptake of the flu vaccine, over 500,000 of the COVID-19 vaccine. It's not too late. Prevention is much easier than treatment. Secondly, we're urging people in terms of their behaviour, just be mindful of who, if you're sick, who you may be in contact with, an older person or a very young baby, or those who are particularly vulnerable to more serious illness due to influenza or RSV. So if you're sick for any reason, please avoid contact with people who may be vulnerable to more serious illness. Avoid visiting hospitals, avoid visiting nursing homes. Ideally, people should stay away from work until the 48 hours symptom-free. And then, of course, if you do become sick, self-management for the more minor ailments, which is a great majority of people, there's information available again on our website advising what you do with common colds, sore throats, sore ears. We're expanding availability of general practices right through after Christmas to the end of February. So there'll be extra GP clinics in the morning, in the evening, Saturday morning. And then, of course, we have a range of places people can present to, not just emergency departments, local injury units, out-of-hours GPs. And we're urging people to consider the whole range of possible places they can be attended to and seen.
Where do you get information about that? I mean, most GP surgeries, certainly in the city, are not available on a Saturday. And some of them are not even available much past 6 o'clock in the evening. So how do you find out if your GP is going to have a wider availability at this time?
Well, we've finalised arrangements, as we've done the past couple of years, with GPs, with most GPs in the country, to provide extra clinics from December the 27th onwards. And that'll be between 8 and 9 in the morning, 5 and 7 in the evening, and on Saturday morning. And we're doing so precisely for the reason you identified, because people may have difficulty accessing same or next day GP appointments and may end up instead then utilising emergency departments or local injury units where it may be unnecessary. So we're urging people that to avail of the expanded GP clinics that we're making available through collaboration with the ICGP and the GP community.
We've forgotten about masking and so on since the end of the broad COVID pandemic, but if you're going to a doctor's surgery and you're going to be sitting there in a room, possibly with 20 other people, I would advise a mask.
Well, certainly, masks are no longer mandatory. People feel comfortable wearing a mask. We wouldn't discourage people from wearing a mask. But I think what's much more important, Pat, sometimes we find the discussions and arguments sometimes about masks distract from more fundamental infection prevention and control measures people can take to avoid either receiving or transmitting infection. And they include, of course, the basics of hand washing with soap and water. They include, particularly when you're sick, is not to become in contact with people who are vulnerable. And of course, vaccination.
Now, the question of self-care. At what point do you decide, I do need a GP or I do need a visit to the ED? And at what point can I say, I'll manage this, a bit of paracetamol? I mean, what is the treatment for the flu?
Well, most people will understand what self-management is, because most people at some stage of their lives will have the flu or similar winter or seasonal viruses. And the treatment, of course, involves staying at home, taking regular paracetamol or Brufen, taking lots of fluids. For those who are more vulnerable, older people, or those with chronic illness, there is always the risk of becoming more seriously ill. And of course, our emergency departments are there should people develop more serious symptoms suggestive of more serious illness, such as shortness of breath, such as chest pain, such as a very high fever, such as confusion. And our emergency departments are available in 26 sites across the country for those with more serious illness. When people go there, they will expect to be triaged, and those who are more serious will be seen sooner, and those who are deemed not to have a serious presentation may face longer waiting times as a consequence.
One of the texts coming in, listening to the HSE representative, Dr. Colm Henry, they should have been advising of this 6 weeks ago, as they knew this was coming. Advisory ads were needed, and masks and hand gel. Have people forgotten good hygiene habits practiced during COVID? That's from Marie and Rahini. I mean, you see the empty gel cartons everywhere, the dispensers, and you try them and there's nothing in them in most premises.
True. What I would say to anybody listening is that soap and water is very, very effective. Alcohol gel doesn't kill all these winter viruses, and we would urge people, particularly with the norovirus, which is this winter virus that causes vomiting and diarrhoea, is frequent, simple washing of soap and water with their hands is quite effective.
Another question, can people of all ages avail of the COVID vaccine?
It's free for those groups that I mentioned, those over 60, those with chronic disease or certain prescribed illnesses below that age, from the age of 5 onwards, for healthcare workers, of course, too. So all that information is available on hse.ie or 1-800-700-700, or your participating GP or pharmacist will be able to give you information.
And that question of earlier advice, I mean, you're making this advice known now, and I'm sure there were others trying to inform the people, but maybe it should have started in November, or do people not bother paying heed to it when they don't see people, you know, all around them dropping like flies with winter bugs?
Well, we do plan every beginning in spring, because that's when our planning and our purchasing of vaccine for the country begins. We begin to see the vaccine trends, the virus trends for influenza in the southern hemisphere. So that's when we begin to identify the most effective vaccines. We plan our vaccine programs, purchase the vaccines. This year, as I said, we started a new Pathfinder vaccine for RSV, which has proven remarkably successful. And that began on the 1st of September. We have an 85% uptake of newborn babies for that, and we have 71 cases among the target population, compared to 793 last year, 35 hospitalised against 502 last year. So the planning does begin for these important prevention and control. But of course,
I think it's very well worth stressing that this new available vaccine to the newborns from the 1st of September, that has actually worked wonders. I mean, to go down to 10% or less of last year's figure is phenomenal.
It is a remarkable achievement, and I just want to acknowledge, Pat, if I could, the midwives and those working with maternity units right across the country, of public health colleagues who've been planning for this from spring, summer, and it involved designing a programme at speed, it involved linking with all the maternity units, and it involved our trusted midwives dealing with new mothers, their families, persuading them to take this monoclonal antibody, which confers immunity for 150 days to children. And those figures are remarkable, because right here I would otherwise be talking to you about surge in pressures in paediatric units, about children being critically ill in intensive care units, pressures out there in the community, right across our healthcare system, from general practitioners to the hospitals. They're noticing a dramatic fall in that target population. Yeah.
And just to clarify, it's not actually a vaccination, it's an immunisation. It doesn't stimulate the immune system of the baby, the newborn baby. It just gives them the material they need to withstand RSV.
Correct, for 150 days, but that's enough to get through this RSV season, which kicked off a little bit later than the past couple of years, is resuming to the kind of pre-pandemic levels we saw. But nevertheless, we're still seeing, the interesting thing, Pat, is if you see the figures for those outside that population, in other words, older children and even older people, you see the same pattern as last year, the same rise in doubling in number of cases, the same rise in hospitalizations, and very occasionally in admission to an intensive care unit.
Now, going back to that question of those 600 to 900 beds that must become available to cope with the flu surge, how are you managing that? Who are you not seeing? Who are you sending home?
Well, as I said, prevention is very important. Self-management, I'm urging people to avail of the local injury units. We have 14 or so of those around the country, open 7 days a week. They can cope with fractures from the knee down, burns, minor injuries, minor ailments. There's obviously some exclusion criteria, but we can a great deal of people we would urge to avail of the local injury unit for non-life threatening. No appointment is needed, Pat. You can turn up. Minor injuries, wounds, bites, cuts, small abscesses, splinters and so on, all can turn there and can turn up there, and we're seeing high levels of activity there. For those who are seriously ill, head injuries, chest pain, shortness of breath, seizures, we have systems in place across our busy emergency departments, which involves triage, identifying those who are most critically ill, seeing them early. It involves a whole system response in that we are putting extra senior decision makers across the system 7 days a week to ensure there's flow of people through hospitals, and that we call those people who are delayed transfer out of hospitals, that their transfer out is expedited as quickly as possible so we get a steady flow of people through the emergency departments.
Okay, but are all electives pretty much cancelled?
Well, none. We're continuing time-critical work, so it's important to reassure anybody listening, for those with cancer surgery or time-critical work, we're continuing that. But for non-time-critical work, as is usual during this winter season, we're suspending that for a number of weeks until we prioritise those with the greatest need in emergency departments.
Now, some of the comments coming in, there are no GPs taking on new patients. For example, if you're in another part of the country for Christmas, what are you supposed to do? And also, Pat, you're right, there are very few GPs at weekends and after six in the evening. It's ridiculous because people get sick at all times of the day and the week. And other ones, seems like we learned very little during COVID, considering all that's going around. And another one from Liam, recently brought an elderly relative who is immunocompromised to an overcrowded clinic at UHL. The appointment letter indicated the wearing of masks. We turned up, no one considered other patients attending. We were the only people attending who were wearing the masks. One appointment time for all, no learned lessons post-pandemic. And that idea, turn up at 10 and you get to be seen at half 11 or 12. Everyone given the same appointment time, which seems to be ludicrous.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make any sense, certainly.
It does happen, though.
It does happen. It shouldn't happen, particularly at busy times. As I said earlier, masks are not obligatory, but anybody who feels more comfortable wearing a mask, be it to transmit or to avoid receiving infection, certainly this should be facilitated. But certainly our appointment system, so far as it can, should try and facilitate the shortest possible stay and wait, especially in a crowded area. The point about GPs, we have, of course, like other countries, a shortage of GPs. We're training more GPs now. We've gone up from 250 to 350 GP trainees per year. It's going to take time. We're also taking GPs from other countries, from South Africa and other, to shore up the support, particularly in those areas such as the Northeast or the Northwest, where we have a shortage of GPs. So there's an immediate action required in terms of, as I mentioned earlier in the programme, of increasing the number of hours availability for same-day or next-day appointments, And there's a longer strategic action in training more GPs and in employing GPs from abroad to provide service to those areas that are a low GP provision.
Dr. Colm Henry, Chief Clinical Officer with the HSE, thank you very much for joining us from Republic of Work in Cork. Colm, and a very happy Christmas to you.
A happy Christmas to you, Pat. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.